Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A, and I've pooled the questions from my Facebook and Snapchat for this week. So my Facebook page, Brian Keane Fitness, and my Snapchat, BrianK019. So we'll get straight into it. First question. Hey Brian, any advice on somebody trying to grow a PT Facebook page? Okay, so I get every once in a while I get some business questions. I've been very, very fortunate over the last couple of years to have built my business to the point where it's at now. And Facebook has been a pretty big part of that. Social media in general. I read a great book by Gary Vaynerchuk probably 3.5 years ago now called Crush It, where he spoke about using social media to build a business and build a plan and build a name for yourself so that you could provide enough value to people. What I find with Facebook now, nearly every personal trainer has a Facebook page, as they should, because it's an amazing tool to help provide value and support to the people that you're possibly going to be working with. But one of the biggest mistakes I see is people fucking selling shit on there the whole time as opposed to providing value to their customers. It's funny because I actually have a couple of people that I know that have Facebook pages, and everything that goes up on it is the prices of the personal training. They're now taking on clients and there's no value. They never put up any post that serves their community or serves the people that they're trying to work with. And it's probably a reason that they're constantly advertising, because you haven't given anybody any value or provided any value. So why would they ever want to work with you? So my advice would be, and I got asked this at a seminar recently in Kerry, do I ever worry that I putting out all my free content will affect my business? It's actually done the complete opposite. I set out day number one. Well, not day number one. That's a lie. I set out probably in the last 2 years and last 18 months, particularly since Holly's been born, I changed my entire business philosophy towards fuck it. I'm just going to try and provide as much value as I can to people and hope that the law of reciprocity comes back to me. And then I'm somehow going to be able to build a business from it. So I put out probably more free content than anybody. You check out any of my platforms, there's different pieces of content on all of them. I put up different content on Snapchat. I put different content on Facebook. I put different content on Instagram. It's the reason for that is to try and provide as much value to people on those platforms so that I can provide benefit to them. The law of reciprocity means that's going to come back to you. I love Zig Ziglar's quote where he speaks of, if you help people get what they want, you'll get everything you want. And I largely build my business around that, trying to provide as much value to people. I was at a seminar in Toronto last year, and there was a woman on stage who said, make your free content better than people's paid content. And that really, really resonated and landed with me. And I try and do that. I literally try and put out free stuff that's better than people's paid stuff. And I do get that back from people. And the funny thing is, people will come in and they buy into you, they'll buy trust into you, and they'll want to work with you because you provide them with so much value. So my advice would be is serve your community, give them as much value as you can, and that will come back to you in the law of reciprocity. The truth is, when you do things for money, you start making bad decisions. So I would advise just trying to help people and as many people as you can. And the truth is, you want to make a load of money and make a life doing this. They say if you want to make $1 million, help 1 million people. You know, the richest people in the world are the people that have helped and served the most people. So when you start to look at your Facebook page and your business page like that, it changes the whole dynamic as opposed to just constantly selling, 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 selling. Business is a little bit like when you're trying to get a hookup with a girl or a guy for the first time. You don't just approach someone randomly on the street and be like, right, do you want to come back to mine? Or, oh, do you want to fucking get married? You know, there's courtship. You take them out on dates. You see each other for a while. And then eventually you start to engage that commitment. Business is the same. Start providing so much value to people so that you're constantly helping them, that if they need a personal trainer or they need somebody to help them with their fitness, they're going to come to you because you've helped them with so much. Most of the people that come through my Top 50 program or my GA Lean Body program are people that have found value in the content that I put out for them. And that's not intentional. There's no, right, I'm going to put out all this and then hopefully everyone buys off me. It's being truly trying to provide as much value as you can. and that will come back to you. So on your Facebook page, start pumping out value. Who's your customer and how can you help them? If you've got people that are on the couch and have never gone to the gym, put up some home workouts that they can do at home with their body weight in their living room. If you've got high-end competitors, start putting up different supplements that'll help you get from 7% body fat to 6% body fat. Try and serve your community and do everything you can to help them, and your Facebook page and your business in general will continually grow. Next question, thoughts on 5x5 for main compound lifts, the actual benefits, from Brian Lynch. I'm a huge fan of 5x5 for people that are looking to build their strength. Again, it's not going to be ideal for body composition in terms of changing the way you look. So it's not my bread and butter in terms of what I do. But in terms of building sheer strength, it does work quite well. You'll also get a little bit of overlap in size because you're on the very, very low end of hypertrophy, and you might get some hypertrophy overlap, which means that you may get some size with a 5x5 program depending on your genetic makeup and the calorie intake that you're taking. But in terms of a program, I think it works great. The only time I ever followed a 5x5 strictly, however, I did hurt my lower back. It was the only gym injury I've had in nearly 17 years training. The only gym injury I've ever got was from doing a 5x5 program. The reason is that when you're doing five sets of five, which is 5x5, you're going pretty fucking heavy on your fifth rep. So you're going to load your back. Well, if you're doing a compound lift like a squat or a deadlift, that's a lot of weight to be moving. So you do increase your risk of injury. You can get injured doing any sort of movement, but the heavier the weight gets, the higher your risk of injury is. So in terms of general public doing 5x5, unless you're really trying to just build your strength, I would probably err away from it. But in terms of an actual system, it works incredibly well. And I actually, in the phase two of my GA Lean Body program, there's a little bit of 5x5 on compound lifts as a strength maintenance, but that's for athletes and high-end athletes that are doing that. So it really, really depends on your specific goals. But if you're looking just to build strength with maybe a little bit of secondary size, if you have your nutrition in alignment with it, that you're eating enough calories, enough carbohydrates to keep your glycogen level stores, enough fats to make sure that your body doesn't get too much inflammation, and you've got enough amino acids to support growth, even though you're still working in your strength parameters, then I think it works really well. But it depends on each person's goal. Next question. Hey Brian, I really want to go to the gym, but I haven't a clue what I should be doing. I'm overweight and getting married next year. Do you recommend a low calorie diet with just cardio, or should I be doing weights also? From Amanda Kennedy. Okay, Amanda, the reason I'm going to do this question is because I think there's a lot of people that will hopefully get a lot of value from this. I have quite a good few people that come through my top 50 program in a very, very similar position, that have either a fear of joining the gym or have never done any weight training before. And it is scary. Like, when you don't know what you're doing, the gym can be a really, really intimidating place. So one of the things that I found has worked really, really well for the people that have came through my program in particular, particularly the beginner version of my top 50 program, is doing home workouts and building up your confidence by performing movements the correct way yourself at home. And then as your confidence builds and as your body composition changes, then join a gym if you so choose to decide. So what I would advise you doing is finding some form of training program that you can do at home, and then start building on that until your confidence grows and you start to see your body changing, and then you can expand and go into a gym if you need to. Some people come through my home program and never go to a gym and get incredible results. So you definitely don't need a gym. It's going to be very much down to, do you prefer the environment of being in the social interaction with people in a gym? Do you feel more motivated when there's other people around? Do you like that you don't have to buy any of the equipment yourself? There's a lots of benefits and lots of negatives. Again, time, going to the gym, traveling, getting distracted. There's pros and cons to training at home, and there's pros and cons to training in the gym. The best program is going to be one that fits into your lifestyle and your schedule and works for you. In terms of doing weights also, you're probably going to get a massive benefit through adding resistance training. So whether you do that through body weight resistance or whether you do that through weight training, you're probably going to get a benefit from that, because of when you do resistance training, which is effectively what weight training is, you can also use your body weight for resistance. But when you do resistance training, you tear more muscle fibers, which elevates your metabolism, which means that you'll burn more calories while you're resting. So if you're doing this in conjunction with a cardio program, you can speed up your results and actually lose more body fat through your metabolism being increased and through your cardio, by getting your heart rate at 70% of your max heart rate or above, which is technically your fat burning zone, or doing a high intensity interval style training cardio, which will also get into your fat stores, that can give you a better bang for your buck than just doing cardio alone and just going low calorie. One of the mistakes that I see people make, and I actually had one of my girls come through my top 50 recently, who came through one of the juice diets and came through, she was on less than 1,000 calories. So we actually had to spend a couple of weeks fixing her metabolism and getting her used to eating food again. And she ended up dropping a stone at the end of the 6 weeks. And that was including the 2 weeks where we had to reintroduce food. The thing, when you start to drop your calories too low, you will lose fat, you will lose weight. If you eat less than 1,000 calories every day and you're going to the gym or you're doing cardio, you will lose weight. The flip side of that is you won't keep it off long term. You won't have it sustainable. You are probably going to mess up hormones, things like your ghrelin, your leptin hormones, which are your hunger and satiation hormones. Basically, the hormones in your body that tell you you're full or that tell you you're hungry, they get massively downregulated so that you don't know when you're full and you don't know when you're hungry and you just tend to overeat. That's what happens with people, and it leads to a rebound because they've upset those hormones. So by doing some form of crash diet where you're just using juices or just using protein bars or you're just eating very, very low calories and doing excess cardio, you can disrupt a lot of that. And don't get me wrong, it will work. You will lose weight and you'll possibly lose a lot of body fat with that as well, but you'll rebound back out the other side. And the truth is, there's another way to it. By getting everything on point, making sure that your nutrition is in a calorie deficit, I have never in all of my life working with people ever dropped anyone below 1,000 calories. So if you're listening to this and you've been dropped below 1,000 calories, it's probably not being optimal for you. And if you're working with somebody that has done that, you're working with a shit trainer who doesn't know what they're doing. There's no, and again, I don't like to be controversial for the sake of it, but I will stand on my side of the fence with that if you're working with a trainer who's dropped you below 1,000 calories, they don't fucking know what they're doing, because you can lose body fat and you can lose weight by keeping your calories considerably higher than that. And you also don't need to be 3 or 4 hours in the gym to do it. The key is going to be making sure you're in a calorie deficit. So calculating your maintenance, which basically means the amount of calories you need to stay the same weight, and then getting you into a deficit either through your nutrition or through your training or through both. That's going to allow you to use fat as a fuel source with a couple of extra tweaks, making sure that you're doing your resistance training first so you can burn through muscle glycogen, get into your fat stores faster, which could potentially mean you use up fat as a fuel source and get results faster, making sure you're timing your meals to keep your blood sugar stable, even though it's overall calorie intake that's going to be important. I have a personal preference towards spacing meals to keep blood sugar stable because that increases energy. It also reduces cravings because your blood sugars aren't dropping. And then using a training program that's going to elevate your metabolism through tearing fibers through resistance, and using a cardio system that either is low intensity that gets your heart rate at 70% or above your max heart rate. So to calculate your maximum heart rate, it's 220 minus your age. And then 70% of that is going to be your quote unquote fat burning zone. So anyone that's actually timing their heart rate, that's a good kind of gauge for getting into your fat burning zone. Or you're doing a high intensity interval style training fat loss program, which I personally prefer because it's a better bang for your buck in terms of you have to do it less and you tend to get better results, because you're working for, you know, maximum output in terms of your heart rate, you're resting and you're doing kind of, it's sprint training effectively. So there's loads of different ways you can do it. My advice would be to try and get onto a nutritional plan that has your meal space, that has real food that you're using, that's eating, getting you into a calorie deficit. Then you're using your weight training to move that even further by increasing your metabolism by tearing fibers. And then you're using cardio on top of that to get your body fat down in time for your wedding. Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Brian King Fitness Podcast. I just want to take a quick 90 seconds to thank you all for downloading the podcast and tell you about my 6-week top 50 online program. It still blows my mind to see the thousands of downloads every week, so thank you all so much. What if I told you you could lose body fat, build muscle, or tone up all without putting your life on hold? One of the things that irks me in fitness is people saying that you need to train for an hour and a half every day or do loads of cardio to get in good shape, or silly things like you need to avoid putting milk in your coffee or completely eliminate alcohol or else you're going to get fat. The truth is, you can get into incredible shape by eating certain foods, timing your meals properly, and following a training program that is in exact alignment with your specific goals. And you can do this without putting your life on hold. The right program should fit into your lifestyle and schedule and not the other way around. Whether you're a guy or a girl, think about how good it would feel losing body fat and building muscle or toning up all because you have the right systems in place. You didn't have to starve yourself, you didn't have to spend hours and hours in the gym, or even try and piece together different workouts and nutritional plans together yourself in the hope that they worked. With my Top 50 program, you'll have a full blueprint on how to best time your meals, what foods to eat, all your macro calculations, and different recipes to help keep you on track. My philosophy on nutrition is to help you find the strategies, foods, and systems that work best for your lifestyle and goal, so your diet just becomes the way you eat and not a diet you're following. Also, have you ever found yourself thinking, am I doing this exercise right? Or is this the best way to lose fat, tone up, or build muscle? I remember that feeling too well. Imagine the peace of mind knowing exactly how to do every exercise at home or in the gym, and knowing that your training program is in exact alignment with your specific goals, and seeing your body composition change as a result. Everyone has different nutritional preferences, lifestyles, and schedules, and my Top 50 program is the only program where I work with each person through the Top 50 Facebook group. Here I do weekly Q&As with everyone in the program, and this is where we can tweak and adapt training and nutrition to make the program perfect for you. Not only that, but you'll also have one of my online coaches working with you Monday to Friday to make sure that there's no stone left unturned in getting you into amazing shape. Every program is capped to 50 people, so once the group hits 50 people, it closes until the next round. So for more information or to sign up for the next 6-week Top 50 online program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com, or email me on brian@briankeenfitness.com, and thanks again for listening. Hey, next question. Hey, Brian, so you're stranded on a desert island and there's a McDonald's on it. What do you choose? Con Casey. So anyone that's been following me on other platforms, you know I'm not a massive fan of fast food. Not McDonald's in particular. I actually love McDonald's because McFlurries are fucking awesome. And they actually do a pretty good chicken Caesar salad. And since the whole fast food debacle on their reputation being ruined from the movie that came out, there's actually got a pretty good selection of healthy food at McDonald's now. But I assume when you mean this, you mean the fast food, some chips and burgers. So personally, I'm not a massive fan and I would probably rather starve. The funny thing is with fast food, when you educate yourself on what's actually happening in your body when you eat fast food, it's very, very hard to consume that food then. My book is out the end of May. I have a full section in there on trans fatty acids and how they affect your body. And I've worked with numerous amount of people who have actually dropped fast food and will never consume it again once I've educated them on how trans fatty acids work. To kind of give you a bit of a shortcut on it, again, this is a very, very simple breakdown, and there's a lot of other hormonal and digestive things that come into play, but your body's main source of energy is going to be glucose. Assuming you're not in a ketogenic diet and you're not in a ketosis state, your main source of body that your energy uses is glucose, and then it's going to be glycogen, which is effectively the carbohydrates you've eaten over the last few days, and then you've got your body fat. What happens when you're trying to use body fat, and again, there's loads of different things that come into practice here, but just giving you the most basic breakdown, you want to try and get into fat stores as fast as possible to reduce your levels of body fat. So you want to burn through your glucose, you want to burn through your muscle glycogen, and you want to tap into fat stores and actually use the fat as a fuel source in your body. What happens when you consume trans fatty acids is they go to the back of the queue. So you now have glucose, you have glycogen, you have body fat, and you've trans fatty acids at the back of the queue. When you eat trans fatty acids, they effectively go into your visceral levels of fat, which is the fat over the organs, because when your body consumes those foods, because it's a partially hydrogenated chemical makeup for fat, your body doesn't understand what it is. If you actually see the chemical makeup of a trans fatty acid, it's an actual upside down hydrogen ion. Trans is the Latin for opposite, and a hydrogen ion is actually on the opposite side. So the chemical makeup is completely different from a normal fatty acid. So what happens when you consume those foods is your body panics and it shuttles it straight into the fat stores over your organs, so that it keeps in those fat stores where it keeps your body safe and keeps your vital organs safe. So what happens then is when you have a buildup of this visceral fat over your organs, and you build up your subcutaneous fat, which is the fat you can pull and see, and you can see in the mirror, when you're dieting down, you still hold those levels of visceral fat over the organs. That's why a lot of people have stubborn body fat on their stomach. Again, this varies person to person. There's hormonal issues in here that can be involved, but for a lot of people, they'll hold their stubborn area of fat around their stomach because that's where your trans fatty acid pocket buildups are. So when you know that by eating these foods and eating these trans fatty acids that they're putting a whole other wall up in terms of you losing body fat. It's very, very hard to consume those foods knowing that you can work and you can train and you can grind and you're still going to struggle to break down that visceral level of fat. The thing is with people, and I've worked with people, particularly older people who are in their mid-30s, early 40s, mid-40s, who may have had 20, 30 years of fatty acid buildup and trans fatty acid buildup, it's very, very hard to get their six-pack and get their flat stomach. It's not impossible. It can be done. It just takes longer because they have a longer buildup of visceral fat there from years and years and years of eating fast food. So the advice I normally offer people is to minimize the amount of fast food and trans fatty acids you're consuming. The only flip for people that it doesn't have an effect on is those that have a very, very low level of body fat to begin with. Someone with a very, very fast metabolism, or someone who's at that photo shoot level of lean or competitive bodybuilder or bikini girl level of lean. Normally when they have their cheat meals or they have their pizzas or trans fatty acids, because they're so lean to begin with, it's actually not adding that much to their fat pockets. The people that are at risk are the people who are trying to get leaner, who are trying to get abs, and who are trying to get a flat stomach. It's why people that come to my Top 50 program, and I've spoken about this in the book, that I try not tell them when they're going out on nights out over the 6 weeks or the 12 weeks for anyone in phase two, that I tell them to use their alcohol, and we put a strategy in place, and I've spoke about that in other podcast episodes, but to avoid your fast food and your McDonald's or your Supermax or your fast food chain at the end of the night, because that's what's going to set you back. Not the alcohol you're drinking, which again isn't optimal because your body won't burn body fat while there's alcohol in your system because it has to clear the toxin out, but that's not what sets people back. It's the fast food and the trans fatty acid that tends to really, really put you backwards. In terms of actual health, trans fatty acids are probably the worst thing you can take. Dave Asprey talks in his book, The Bulletproof Diet. Again, a book that I don't agree with everything in it, but there are some good things on trans fatty acids in there. Liz Wolf in Eat the Yolks and Dave Asprey's Headstrong, his second book, talks about trans fatty acids and their detrimental effect on overall health and your brain, and how they can just completely ruin your body from a health perspective. Liz Wolf, particularly in the book Eat the Yolks, has a very, very good section on trans fatty acids for anyone that wants to see more and read more on that, or check out my book when it comes out the end of May. But personally, if I was on a desert island, I'd rather fucking try and make a stick and get some fish, you know, than actually eat a McDonald's, because my body and my brain just wouldn't thank me. I also, what happened after a certain point, you have such a link of pain to food. I had issues with stomach, with leaky gut, irritable bowel syndrome and stomach problems. So anytime I did consume fast food, and I did, when I was traveling the US when I was 19, I did the whole West Coast. At the time I had a stomach ulcer and when I was out of shape, I was eating fast food and it hospitalized me in conjunction with having a lot of alcohol. And now I have such a pain linked to that food that the thoughts of it turns my stomach. There's a great section in Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within, where he speaks about linking pain and pleasure with things. And if you can link fast food with that pain and disgusting feeling, you will never want to have it again. And for me, that's where I'm at with it. I don't see fast food as food. I see it as just garbage when I look at it. That's not a knock on people that eat it. That's just personally for me. But that's because I've linked so much pain to that food because of my issues with stomach, being hospitalized with an ulcer, having that bleed. I have such a link of pain to that food, and the knowledge on how much it would set me back physique-wise and mentally now, because of the way I like the way my brain is clear and how it works, I could never add it back into my diet, even if I was on a desert island. So massive thank you to everyone for the questions. To find out more about me, head over to my website, www.briankeefitness.com. You can find everything about my programs on there, my Top 50 online program and my GA Lean Body program. For my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, it's all Brian Keen Fitness. And my Snapchat, BrianK019, which is my most active platform at the minute. If you're only following me on one thing, definitely head over to my Snapchat. I put everything on there. My training, my nutrition, my supplements, the books I'm reading, Q&As that I try and do every week. So definitely follow me on there, BrianK019. Massive thank you to Cullum over at Voxonic, who edits and puts together all my podcast episodes. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys soon.
can't get enough.